The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 17th, 2016, in Dwarka, Delhi, India.
So, we are gathered here today for the most auspicious initiation ceremony. Srila Prabhupada has so much glorified this initiation ceremony. He said, by this initiation, we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. This is the process of transforming oneself from a materialist into a spiritualist. So everyone should take this process very seriously of initiation. Some very nice words here in the Srimad Bhagavatam describing Sri Narad Muni. The verse goes like this. Namanyanantasya tatra papatan guhyani badrani kritani chasmaran gamparyatang shtushtamanagata spriha kalang pratikshan vimado vimatsaraha. Narada Muni is speaking here. He says, thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are all benedictory. So doing, I travel all over the earth, fully satisfied and free from pride and envy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The life of a sincere devotee of the Lord is thus explained in a nutshell by Narada Muni, by his personal example. Such a devotee, after his initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, takes very seriously chanting of the glories of the Lord and traveling all over the world so that others may also hear the glories of the Lord. Such devotees have no desire for material gain. They are conducted by one single desire to go back to Godhead. This awaits them in due course on quitting the material body. Because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead, they are never envious of anyone, nor are they proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, and according to personal capacity, to distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. So here we have just those words of guidance coming from Srila Prabhupada for those who are already initiated here in this room, those who are aspiring to become initiated, and those who are getting initiated. Let's read that last sentence again. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, and according to personal capacity, distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. So that's how you can be perfect in fulfilling your initiation vows, you see. Of course, you'll be chanting 16 rounds at least every day without fail. You'll be strictly avoiding illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. And by the way, illicit sex is also prohibited for householders. Householders are not supposed to have illicit sex either. They can have sex only for procreation. They cannot have it for recreation. That rule is strict, just as it's strict for sannyasis and brahmacharis. It's also strict for householders. They can have sex life once in a month only, after the lady's menstrual cycle, and after the husband and wife both chant 50 rounds of japa to try to have a child. Other than that, they are strict brahmacharis, just like brahmacharis and sannyasis. So in this way, if one embraces fully the nectarian holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare. Then one's born again is not in name only. You understand? Don't be initiated in name only. You have to have a rebirth. Initiation means dvija, twice born. Now a new you is coming out. You see? Actually, you were behind the your real you has been covered up in the shell of material sense gratification for thousands and millions of lifetimes. You see, buried, hidden beneath the false you, the false ego. Initiation means now you throw off the false ego, you come out in your real self. Prabhupada compares this to the ugly caterpillar who comes out as a butterfly. So you've been a caterpillar, so to speak. Now, of course, you were a caterpillar in one of your lifetimes. But, so to speak, you've been like a caterpillar, an ugly caterpillar for millions and billions of lifetimes. And now you're coming out as a beautiful butterfly. If you can follow your initiation vows strictly and not cheat, not deviate, you see, then you become a glorious, twice-born transcendentalist, fully qualified to enter into the spiritual sky upon leaving your present body. In fact, you'll already be as good as in the spiritual sky right here in India or wherever you may be. Just by being absorbed fully in Krishna consciousness, you're already as good as liberated. You see? You don't have to wait for death to go back to Godhead. You can be back to home, back to Godhead, right here, right now, just by being in that mood of pure bhakti. Why wait for liberation? Krishna consciousness is beyond liberation. You understand? So Prabhupada always wanted us to, at these initiation lectures, to talk about the 10 offenses. Why? Because now you must strictly avoid them. Your spiritual life will be hampered if you commit the namaparads. Therefore, you must carefully avoid these 10 offenses. What is the first offense? To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Someone may think, well, I know how to avoid blasphemy. I'll just go out into the forest and stay away from the devotees. Because I'm such a fault finder. As soon as I get around the devotees, I find all their faults. So I'll just stay away from the devotees. And that way I'll become pure. No. That doesn't work because actually, if you don't associate with devotees, you will not be a devotee. Asat, what is that shloka? Sangat sanjayate kama, Krishna says in Gita. Your consciousness is developed according to your association. If you go out into the forest to avoid devotee association, or go to the Himalayas, you will not come out as a devotee. You see? To be a devotee, you have to associate with devotees, and to be able to associate devotees properly, you have to associate without committing offenses. So how do you do that? You have to see the good qualities of the devotees. You have to appreciate the devotees. Every devotee has some glorious qualities, even though we're all neophytes and we have so many bad qualities, isn't it? We have so many bad qualities. We're puffed up, we're lazy, we're crazy. We have so many bad qualities, isn't it? But we have good qualities also. That's why we're attracted to this movement. So you have to see the good in every single devotee. Even a complete newcomer, neophyte, who still has bad habits, you have to see, but he's attracted to Krishna. So you have to appreciate within every Vaishnava the good of that devotee, you see. Genuinely appreciate the good in every single Vaishnava, and in that way, you won't commit any offense, you see. Even when you're just thinking about them. Not only when you're with them, but when you're away from them, remembering them, you have to always appreciate their good qualities. That's how you'll, and this is actually the most important thing. Because Krishna says, he says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktashtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata, my dear Arjuna. The one who is my devotee, name bhaktas, he's not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. Do you want to be a devotee of Krishna? You want to be devotee of Krishna? Yes or no? Then you have to be the devotee of the devotee. Otherwise, you are nowhere, Prabhu. You are nowhere, Mataji. Unless you're the devotee of the devotee, you're not recognized as a devotee by Krishna. So try to understand the importance of having love and affection and respect for all the Vaishnavas. It's very, very important. The second offense is to exhibit the names of the demigods like Shiva or Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. It's not that you can chant Durga, 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 or Shiva, 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 it's all the same. No. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Number three, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. You mean I have to actually obey my guru? I can't just do my own thing? That's right. You have to obey your spiritual master. In fact, there are three steps. The three pillars of devotional service are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 6. The first three items of how to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness and become qualified to get out of this nasty place called the material world. You have to, first of all, take Kshatriya bona fide spiritual master. Number two, you have to get initiated. That's the solemn vow of shelter is what it is. I will never leave your shelter. I've taken shelter, but now I'm vowing never to leave your shelter. And the third item is obedience. Because actually, if you're not obeying the spiritual master, your initiation is false. It's not real, and you're not really sheltered by him either. Your shelter is to obey your spiritual master. That's how you're sheltered by him. If you don't obey him, you're not sheltered anymore. You may think you are, but you're not. Only by obedience to your spiritual master are you protected from the influence of the age of Kali. As soon as you disobey him, you're finished. You understand? You're finished. You have to be obedient. So this injunction to not disobey the orders of the spiritual master is of the utmost importance, because that guarantees if you follow this principle, if you obey the instructions of your spiritual master, if you can just do one thing, and that's to obey your guru, your perfection is guaranteed. That one thing, I have to always obey my spiritual master. Number four, to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. These literatures are sacred. You have to always worship them. Number five, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to the imagination. Just like Rupa Goswami says, there is so much nectar in these two syllables, Krishna, that it completely fills up the whole universe. And it's the universe, one universe, can't even contain the amount of nectar that's contained within Krishna. You may say, well, that's just some poetry. That's just an exaggeration. I mean, it couldn't be that much nectar in Krishna. When I chant it, I don't taste that much nectar. Well, that's because you're still a neophyte, Prabhu. That's because you're still hovering on the material plane. But the fact is, there's unlimited nectar to be found in Krishna. So much nectar that even all the material universes put together cannot hold all that nectar. So never think that this is some exaggeration just to get me to chant. No, it's not hype. It's scientific fact. There's unlimited nectar to be found in these syllables, Krishna. Number six, to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. This is the pastime of the Sanskrit scholars. Krishna means black, and black means ignorance, so Krishna means ignorance. No, don't take it through some speculation as a scholar. You have to hear from the acharyas what is the actual meaning of Krishna, not from the Sanskrit, mundane Sanskrit scholars. Number seven, I took one time a Sanskrit course at the university, and the professor told us the Vedas are mythology. They just make believe, they're not really true. The professor told us that, our Sanskrit teacher. So what kind of nonsense is this? See, we don't learn from the Sanskrit scholars, we learn from the acharya. Number seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Well, by chanting, I'm getting relieved of all my sins, so I feel like sinning a little bit. So let me go out and sin tonight, you know. But I'll chant some extra rounds tomorrow morning to make up for it. No, you can't do that. You can't think, well, I've been wanting to smoke a cigarette for a long time, but I'll chant some extra rounds to make up for it. No, you can't cheat. Well, I wanted to have illicit sex with my wife tonight, but I'll chant some. No, you can't cheat. You have to. Don't commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Eight, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna is one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities. Just like that song, you know, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see, don't take chanting Hare Krishna as something, well, you know, I really want a new car, you know. So I'm going to go to the temple and do some kirtan. And I really wanted to get this and that. And my kids are taking their finals today, so I'm going to chant some extra rounds for my kids that do well in their finals. Don't take the material name as something for material gain for you or your family members. That's an offense. It's nama-parad. If you want your kids to do well, don't chant extra rounds. Make them study extra hard. That's all. You see what I'm saying? Don't use a holy name for your material purpose. You're killing your bhakti if you do that. Do not do that. The ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Someone might say, yeah, I didn't feel like going out and preaching anyway, but this is my excuse now. The whole world is faithless, so I don't want to instruct the faithless about the glories of the holy name. I just won't preach. Well, try to use a little intelligence. Do you think Lord Chaitanya is wrong when he told you to preach to everybody? He said, Jare deka tare kaha Krishna upadash amaragai guru hoyatare edesh, whomever you meet. I meet so many people every day on the bus, at the office, everywhere I'm meeting people, isn't it? But he says, wherever you meet, tell them about Krishna. So how do you balance that with you shouldn't instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name? Well, you have to preach according to their level. You don't walk up to somebody and say, you know that the holy name of the Lord is not different from the Lord. You don't preach high level stuff to someone who is not familiar with the science. You preach to them on their level. It's like Prabhupada said, you tell the drunkard, the taste of the wine is Krishna. And he goes, ah, Krishna, Krishna. Prabhupada said he becomes the greatest yogi. So you preach according to their level. Not your level or somebody else's level. You touch their heart on their level. You see, somehow or other, introduce them to Krishna. Just like I was invited to preach at a Christian church one time. It's easy for me because I was raised as a Christian. I know all the jargon, you know. So, we actually do have great faith in Lord Jesus. He is our Savior, there's no doubt. The Prabhupada confirms He's our Guru. So, I didn't tell them about all the high-level stuff, about the holy name, Krishna. No, I just glorified Jesus like anything. He's our Savior, He's Messiah, we worship Him, He's our Guru, and they were in bliss. And then I said, but with you all, we have a beef. And that is the beef. You're eating meat. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But they were so enlivened by hearing the glories of the Lord Jesus from a Hare Krishna devotee that they kept smiling. Even though I told them they were committing sinful activities by eating meat, they were still smiling. So you just have to find a way to get in there, get them to open up their heart and give them something they can relate to in a way that makes sense to them. You see what I'm saying? This is what it means. It doesn't mean don't preach. It means you have to preach intelligently to that person on their level. Don't preach what you need to hear. You can hear that at the temple. You preach to them what they need to hear to begin their spiritual life. This is the point of the ninth offense. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Well, you have to actually do it. You can't just say, oh yes, very nice, and then go on with the material attachment. You've got to take these teachings are like a knife, a razor blade, and they cut your material attachments. You have cancer in the heart, sir. You have cancer in the heart, ma'am. And these words were cutting the cancer out of your heart. You have to let go of it. Don't hold on to your cancer of the heart. Your lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. You have to let go of it. Okay, Gurudev, take that knife and cut it out. You're my surgeon. Do open heart surgery. I'm ready to cut out all the crud in my heart. You have to be like that. You can't just hold on to your crud. I want to keep my lust. I want to keep my anger. I want to keep my greed. I want to keep my envy. No, you have to let go of it. That stuff has been torturing you for millions and billions of lifetimes. Why would any sane person want to hang on to it? You understand this point? You have to be willing to, okay, Gurudev, take your razor blade and cut all the attachments away. That's what you have to be in that mood. When you sit down to hear from Guru, or like in our case, Guru Mataji, advanced devotees, you have to be willing to have all that crud cut out of your heart. You understand? That's how you're going to become a pure devotee. Not holding on to those material attachments. And it's also an offense to be inattentive, you see? We have to avoid the different things, like jabber japa, you know. Hare Krishna, how you doing, Prabhu? Ram, Ram. What's going on with your kids these days? Krishna, Krishna. Chatting and chanting japa at the same time. Jabber japa. Don't do that, you see. Or what about dive bomber japa, you know? You didn't get enough rest, and you're, instead of standing up to chant to keep awake, you're sitting down. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Dive bomber japa, you see. That's not good. So you have to be, you have to take this chanting very, you have to chant in such a way that you can stay focused. Keep your mind focused on the name. Very important. Now we'll conclude with a nice quote from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada on the subject matter of initiation, given on the 5th of January, 1974, at New Dwarka. Here we are in Dwarka. Huh? Oh yeah, radar japa. I forgot radar japa. Just like they have the radar, you know, at the Air Force Base. They look for enemy airplanes. You know, they look if the Pakistanis are invading India with their aircraft. You know, they get the radar going, right? So radar japa is like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Looking everywhere. You know, your mind is looking everywhere, but the holy name is, I don't even know how it's on your lips, because your mind is a million miles away, looking down the street, looking over here. Who just came into the temple? Oh, look, some pretty girl just came in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, you better fix your mind on the name. No radar japa, okay? Okay, thank you, Mataji, for that. I forgot it. You reminded me. Okay, so now we'll conclude here with a wonderful quote from Prabhupada, given on the 5th of January, 1974, in what Prabhupada named as New Dwarka in Los Angeles, California. Prabhupada says, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation, Adau Garashvayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. And if you continue the advice and instructions of the spiritual master or the shastra, you become deathless, no more death. So if you all take your initiation vows very seriously today will be the day that you achieved immortality. You don't have to go back to Godhead to become immortal. All you have to do is get initiated and stick to your vows, and your immortality began from the moment you got the beads in your hand from the spiritual master. You see? So that's the heaviness and the potency of diksha. And those who are getting second initiation now this means you're being recognized as someone who is actually following this process. You're giving first initiation to see if you can really pull it off. And your authorities have seen, yes, they are properly doing this, and now we'll make them full-on recognized brahmanas, you see, dvijas. So this brahman initiation is also very significant. Now you're being accredited as someone who is actually fixed in this process. So brahman means, shamadamashtapal shocham chantirarjama mevacha Gyanam Vigyanam Astakam Brahma Karma Svabhajam. I was told very wisely by one sannyasi the day of my Brahmin initiation. I got it personally from Prabhupada. Prabhupada put the thread over me. I met with him privately in his quarters. It was a very wonderful moment in my life. But I was told, now that you're a Brahmin, be a Brahmin. So you must study, all of you are second initiates, you study the verse about the Brahmin in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the qualities of a Brahmin, and you must see you're developing those qualities. Shama, that means equanimity. You see happiness and distress both as the mercy of Krishna. Not that you get carried away by happiness or depressed by unhappiness. You see unhappiness and happiness both as a special blessing of Krishna to help you come closer to Him. Shama Dhamma. Dhamma means controlling the senses. Shama Dhamma Tapa means austerity, rising early in the morning. Shao Cham, taking your bath. You see? In this way, Shama Dhamma Tapa Chao Cham Chantar means you're peaceful. You see? You're tolerant. Chantar Arjavam, you're a very honest person. Arjavam Evacha. Gyanam, you study the scriptures, you know the philosophy very well. Vigyanam, you apply that philosophy in your life. And Astakam, you have full faith in Guru, in sadhus, in scriptures. In this way, you will manifest the qualities of a Brahmana and you'll become a rightful heir to the Guru Parampara. So, we'll go ahead and stop here. And let's see, what's the next step? Do we give the beads now? Or how's that going? Let's see. Yeah. Okay, now the initiates should put on their 3-strand neck beads. That's the next step. So first I'd like to ask for Bhakta Radhakrishnan to come. You can offer obeisances to the deities. Prabhupada is here on the altar, the Prabhupada and the deities, and then to your spiritual master, offer obeisances.